On January 17th, 1949, the radio program, The Goldbergs, made its way to television screens across the nation as the first domestic sitcom to air on ABC. The sitcom ran until 1956, ushering in the start of a new era, where families like the Ricardos, the Bunkers, the Huxtables, and the Lopezes would visit our living rooms each week, finding humor in the everyday ins and outs of life and tackling head-on some very important social issues of the day. Whether gathered around the toilet for a goldfish funeral in the Huxtable bathroom, or spouting opinions off of a well-worn chair in the Bunker living room, television sitcoms started to remind America of the truth that some people try to suppress, that life is full of drama, and that often the cast of characters are those nearest and dearest to us, even our very families. Now, our biblical text for today reminds us that family drama is nothing new. In fact, the story of the patriarchs is filled with deceit and jealousy, with violence and hatred that would have had no place at an 8 p.m. G-rated slot on TV. It's the part of the Bible that we like to skip over. It's the truth that we like to hide. We sometimes ignore the tough stuff. We sometimes choose to focus on the heroics, hoping that we can find hope for humanity and the stories of the very real humans who are part of our story of faith. But the text is clear. The people we herald as founding fathers of our faith, those through whom God chooses to pass down promise after promise, were anything but perfect. Brothers deceive brothers, husbands sell out their wives, and step by step, God's promises are tested at every turn. The story of Joseph is nothing new. Even before his conception, his family story was full of drama. His father, Jacob, we recall, was married to two sisters, Leah, the oldest, and Rachel, whom he loved. With these two wives and two other women in tow, Jacob became the father of 12 sons, and many daughters as well. If we were to draw out a family tree, we would see that Joseph was the oldest son of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. We learn from our text for this morning that Joseph was his father's dream child, his favorite son through and through. Jacob made no attempts to hide this favoritism, but he played up his adoration for his youngest son, the son born to him in his old age. Jacob set Joseph apart. He doted over him. He dressed him in a fine robe, the mark of royalty. And as is true in most families, his older brothers were jealous of Joseph. It's unclear as to whether these brothers' jealousy was a mark of envy magnified by a group mentality, or if perhaps the brothers were afraid that they would lose their own inheritance to the favored younger child. Their father, after all, had stolen his own brother's birthright. Any way you slice it, they didn't like Joseph. So it's when the final character in our drama comes to the scene that things get really complicated. Joseph's dreams enter the picture, and soon they take center stage. Joseph, either being extremely naive or extremely arrogant, shares the details of his dreams with his brothers and father. Dreams of his own rise to power. Dreams that his whole family will bow down before him. These dreams upset even his father. It was in the face of these dreams that jealousy turned to violence. Perhaps his older brothers were afraid that the dreams would come true, that their worst fears would be realized. Perhaps they were simply angry at his stories. Perhaps they had had enough. Whatever the motivation, There's no excuse for the behavior that comes next. A string of choices that leads to Joseph's sale into slavery. A choice whose only redemptive quality is that it saved him from certain death. A choice that led to the betrayal of their father. Out of pure self-interest, their young brother had been eliminated and left for dead. So how do we make sense of this story? Where do we find the good news in the midst of a story wrought with human failing, in the face of horror and deception at the hands of our brothers in faith? How do we make sense of our own lives when it feels as if our own stories are under the thumb of Joseph's older brothers, or when it feels like for us there's no God in sight? What do we do when those who are supposed to love and accept us let us down and betray us? When parents abuse children, when spouses walk out, when children run away, when churches alienate, when neighbors ostracize, when countries profile? What do we do when the details of our own family drama seem to have a hold on us that brings us down or holds us back? When we are stuck in the roles that someone else has carved out for us. When our past seems to follow us everywhere we go. How do we move on? How do we live into the dreams that give us life, that point us toward God's anointed purpose for us? Because in this post-resurrection day, even in this age, here and now, we know that there is still violence committed in the most intimate of settings. We know that families aren't always safe, and that neither are communities that become surrogate families for others. Families like churches or schools. Families like peer groups or teams. And we know that violence isn't always physical. It sometimes manifests in bullying words, suppressive legislation, or social norms that say that oppression is okay. But as a people of faith, we can't say it's okay. We can't say that Joseph's story is good news when what has happened to him is not good. Just as we cannot say that any abuse or trauma in our own age is acceptable either. We simply can't say that violent or abusive acts are a part of God's plan, because God does not harm God's children. God does not step in to get a pat on the back or to create a good narrative arc in the end when everything turns out okay. So where is God? Where was God for Joseph, and where is God for us? Writing in war-torn Germany, around Christmas time of 1942, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "I believe that God can and will let good come out of everything, even the greatest evil. I believe that even our mistakes and shortcomings are not in vain, and that it is no more difficult for God to deal with them than with our supposedly good deeds." As Bonhoeffer would assert, God is not done with Joseph yet. As his dreams pointed out, God had a purpose and a hope for Joseph's life that could not be snuffed out by his brother's betrayal. In fact, God is about to use the new circumstances of this terrible act to bear fruit for Joseph, and ultimately for Jacob and his whole family too. See, God takes the terrible messes we create and creates something new. God uses the raw material that is offered, even the dirtiest parts of our life, and breathes new life into the dirt once again. As early as Genesis, we see God's MO take the stage, that God is a God of mercy and a God of new life. As one commentator states, we sense that hate and violence and evil will not finally be the way the story ends. And the same is true for us. Even when the pains of our past trail us, or our present struggles define us, God reaches into our lives and will not let go. God's got a hold on us. Theologian Rita Nakashima Brock writes of her own unfolding understanding of God in the midst of her own family drama and its imprint on her life story. As her story unfolded, she tells of knowing God in the midst of abuse, in the midst of racism, in the friendships she built, and in the dreams that captivated her, even in the depths of her pain. She writes, "This is how I speak of God, a presence gradually unfolded by life in its richness and tragedies, its devastating losses and its abundance. A power calling us into a faithfulness of living, a passion for life, for good and ill, an unquenchable fire at the core of life, glimpsed in light and in shadows. God is with us through it all, a faithful presence anointing us with love, even in the darkest times, calling us to put one foot in front of the other and move forward into the new life that God offers to us, not simply in some distant age, but with each new breath that we take." The writer of Romans 8 tells the truth, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, no matter what comes our way, no matter what tries to bring us down, trouble or hardship, hatred or famine, nakedness, danger, persecution, or the sword. For we are more than conquerors through God who loves us. God is with us through every struggle, just as God was with Joseph each day. God claims us in spite of every alienation. God calls us for a purpose in spite of everything that brings us down. God strengthens us for every good act of service. God emboldens us to every act of justice. God dreams big for us and invites us to take hold of that dream. See, the good news of the story is this. We know what Jacob did not know. Joseph's story is not over, and neither is ours. Thanks be to God. Amen.